chapter 6 has been our text. Ephesians chapter 6 has been our text. And we said a few things in this series of teachings. Prayer life of the believer. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read it from verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let me read that verse again. Verse 18 says, praying always. Notice the previous verses, take the helmet of salvation. And we said that if you look at the armor of God as described, start from verse 10 that says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then it goes on to verse 11 and all the way down to this verse 17. It's talking about the whole armor of God. It says, take unto you the whole armor of God. Verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation. So it's talking about a consciousness that a believer prays with a consciousness or with what you call in Christ reality. In other words, you cannot afford to pray a prayer that will be effectual outside of Christ. And you know, there are believers who pray outside of Christ. That means in their prayer, they don't acknowledge who they are, what they are, where they are. They don't acknowledge any of those things in their prayer. So their prayer, in fact, they are still praying to the God of all flesh. You know, there are some people that have a right to pray to the God of all flesh. You are not one of them. You are not one of them. The God of all flesh is the God of the heavens and the earth. To us, his Father. To them, he is God. Says, take the element of salvation and the word of God, the sword of speech is the word of God, praying always. In other words, the word of God is a basis for a believer to keep praying. Praying always with all prayer. I mean, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Where? Where? In the Spirit. Again, we'll allow scriptures to define itself. In the Spirit here is not talking about a spooky realm. In the Spirit simply means in the light of the finished work of Christ. The Holy Spirit is a seal of all God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And we have the Spirit as the seal. It's the Spirit of reality. The Spirit that opens us up to the reality of what God has done. We have the Spirit as proof of what God has done for us in Christ. And so it says praying in the Spirit is still speaking about praying the Word. It means you're praying within the circumference of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. So when it says in the Spirit, I wonder what you can look at as praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in tongues. It says praying always. Say always. Now, if you can't pray always, the Bible won't instruct that you pray always. Always simply means that in season out of season you're praying. It means you keep up an attitude of prayer. That also means that the believer's prayer life is not a life of prayer points. If all you do when it comes to praying is to pick up prayer points, when you are finished with them, what else will you pray about? Think about it. And when he's speaking about prayer here, he's not even talking about praying for things. He's really talking about spiritual realities. You pray now spiritual realities. He's talking about your participation with God in the place of prayer. So the focus here is, when he says praying always, the emphasis on what the believer does in the Spirit. Let's put it this way. What you are meant to do in the place of prayer, in the Spirit, is not something the Spirit of God can get done without you outside of you. It's not something you can get done outside of the Spirit of God. So when it says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, the emphasis is the fact that you are actually participating in something that you have been called into. You are taking your place in the body of Christ. You're making your own supply available. This automatically overrides selfish praying. You can't be praying for things and you're praying always. Whatever you're praying for that has to do with some things or needs, they come to an end one day. But what he's talking about here is emphasizing spiritual realities, something you can't finish praying about in that sense. Notice this praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit for all saints. Well, you don't know all saints, but there's a common and general need that all saints have. And that need is what? Revelation knowledge of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praying always with all prayer. So when it says in the Spirit also, that is the only way you and I can pray all prayer. Other translation says all manner of prayer. It means that different kinds of praying are required depending on the issue, depending on the circumstance or the situation at hand, different kind of praying. How do you know which one to use? You just stay praying in the Spirit. Which means that the Holy Ghost, seemingly speaking, will borrow your tongue, will grant you utterance, and will pray through you what is necessary per time. But that implies that you are always on your prayer tower, figuratively speaking now. That means you're always ready to pray. It is readiness to pray that makes you yield to the Spirit with ease in the place of prayer. Do you know, when we speak about people being fervent in prayer, fervency has a lot to do with practice. That means that some people get there in 10 minutes, some people get there in 2 hours. Both of them are saved. The difference is what they practice. If it takes you 2 hours to get there, likely you don't practice praying much. If it takes you 10, 15, 20 minutes to get there, likely it's because you have been practicing. In other words, to get into an attitude of prayer or spirit of praying is because you are constantly always praying. So to get into that flow, when I say that flow, I'm going to use some phrases I'm going to try to define. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Here is John, the beloved. See what he says. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and what? I heard a voice behind me, a great voice as of a trumpet. Notice that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. If you don't know what he's talking about, you will think that something just happened to him. No. I was is a statement of affirmation. He's talking about an exercise of his will. In other words, John started out praying in the Spirit and some activities began to happen. What does he mean by I was in the Spirit? We know Romans 8 already tells us that we are in the Spirit and we're not in the flesh. That means every single believer is located where? In the Spirit. So what does it mean by I was in the Spirit? It means I took my place in the Spirit. Or I did something to become conscious of the environment where I am. Hallelujah. Say, I'm in the Spirit. I'm born of the Spirit. I live in the Spirit. I can walk in the Spirit. That last part is the important part. I was born in the Spirit. I was born of the Spirit. I live in the Spirit. I can walk in the Spirit. Notice I changed the word. So I can, that is the part where your willingness now plays a role. I can means that there's something I will need to do to now participate where I live. That means I can be somewhere. I can have the status and the standing and not participate. So when John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I heard a voice, John was saying, I began to actively do something in the Spirit that made me conscious. Hallelujah. You know, Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth, howbeit in the Spirit. What is he doing? He speaketh mysteries. If you look at that phrase, he that speaketh, he's speaking about somebody who starts out with an exercise deliberately, knowing what the end result is. What's the exercise? He spoke in tongues. What was he doing? He was speaking in the Spirit. Or he was becoming more conscious of spiritual activity. So when John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he was saying, I did something to be conscious of spiritual realities. Hallelujah. You know, when people have divinely granted experiences, the supernatural experiences, we often think God just stayed, managed it. And there's very little we had to do about it. No. Most of the time, there are activities that are close to us. There are spiritual experiences that are hard to enjoy and to have, that our not participating as we ought is the reason why we often miss those seasons. In other words, does God have set times? Yes. Does God grant us those things? Yes. But there is what you call activities on your part that you're doing to be conscious of it. It's not just God just say that it will be on the Wednesday, 21st. I will visit Martins. He doesn't visit you, he lives in you. But you, by beginning to pray in the Spirit, you became conscious of things that your Father wanted you to know and to have. Because there's something about you knowing and you seeing those things that automatically facilitates manifestation. So when Bible says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, speaks not unto men but unto God, he's talking about the deliberate exercise. I just decided that the realm where I was born, the realm where I live, I want to do some things in that realm conscious. So I switch from the natural, I switch over to the spiritual. What will I be conscious of? Activities going on in that realm. So I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Is John telling you it was deliberate? I began to do something in the spirit, and then I became aware of things. And I've always been there in the spirit, waiting for my response. Glory to God. Waiting for my response. I hope you understand me tonight. So, when anu savrana koli grash te kisto safra gatia la si atash elegano kune sita elion suma grata li etilugush la kafrastia sata el zuzu gratiana ashte on a fast track. You will fast track the plans and purpose of God. The more you step into prayer, praying in the spirit, for there are many things that are meant to have taken place, are meant to have happened, that your non-participation or your slowness to respond to the leadings and the promptings is bringing about a sluggishness about the manifestation of the Father's plans and purpose. Hallelujah. So, thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, many times, because of the authority that is ours in Christ Jesus, participating in the realm of the Spirit deliberately means that there are things the Father wants to show you that is only reserved for sons, that when you see it as a son, you will know what to say, and what you say will bring about manifestation. So it's not all up to God, it's all up to you and God. That's the best way to say what I just saw. It's not just up to God, it's up to you and God. So you and the Father are in business together. You are a tag team through the Holy Ghost. But his part is to show. Your part is to be available to see. Shall I say that again? His part is to show you. Your part is to be available to see. How do you do that? I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I was praying in tongues on the Lord's day. What does praying in tongues means? I make myself available. What does praying in tongues means? I respond to the Spirit. What does praying in tongues means? It means I am now participating in the realm where I was born. What happens? I become conscious of realities of that realm, more than this natural realm. So, many times, cooperation, responding, is all that is required to bring about certain manifestations. That's all that's required. Your cooperation begins the minute you decide to deliberately pray in tongues or pray in the Spirit. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. So it was John who did something about it. Then all the experiences he was meant to have. I know spiritual experiences are very interesting in the sense that everything that John saw, and had 21 chapters or so. Is it 21 or 22 now? 21 chapters. Now, everything he saw could have happened in 2 hours. But it took 22 chapters. There are things that happen in 5 minutes. It should take you 5 years to tell. Because the time realm in that realm is different from time realm here. It doesn't operate the same way. But what did John say? I was in the spirit. Or let's say I made myself available, or I responded, I took my place, and I became conscious of activities that God has always wanted me to be aware of. Hallelujah. Have you noticed that sometimes when you set apart time to pray, it looks as though God is speaking more? Guess what is really happening? You are focusing more. And you set time apart. Your set time apart simply means that people say, I'm going on a retreat. Why does it appear God speaks more? It's not because he's waiting for the retreat. It's because you are the one who needs the retreat. You're the one who left certain activities that normally would have distracted you. Why is it sometimes important that we have times of prayer and places where we pray? Because of natural distractions. And they are all around us. Have you discovered it's very difficult to really focus on praying when you're watching TV? Many of you have discovered. You are watching football match, champagne tongues. Except you are mentioning football clubs. And players, Juventus. One by one. And that's not one tongues. That's tongues of men. In other words, even what you're focusing on visually can affect you. So you are the one who needs the concentrated time of praying. Why do you need that by my part? You are now focusing, which means there is less distraction. So there is what you call more sensitivity. That's what it means. There's more sensitivity. Hallelujah. It says praying always. That automatically tells you a believer can live by praying from one situation to the other. You weren't designed that way. That means you are a reactionary believer. That is the only reason why you pray is because another challenge has started, has come up. You can't live that way. That wasn't God's plan. Bible says that the element of salvation, the one of God, which is word of spirit, praying always. Always means, see, you can't tell me you have problem always. Otherwise, you really have a problem. Praying always means that praying is your default mode. That means you are not praying about problems primarily. It's your lifestyle. You've given yourself to, you are a believer. You are functioning as you ought. That's what it means. It is praying always. With all prayer and supplication. And you know, most of the time when you are doing supplication, it's usually not about you. It's about others. So a believer can't say, I don't have prayer points. Yet a believer doesn't need to start up praying having prayer points. Let me say that again. Hallelujah. You know, we said this during the beginning, as we started this teaching, that many times if you obey the scriptures, whatever prayer points you need to have will be given to you as you start praying. In other words, take part, participate in a prayer life that is available to every Christian, and prayer points will be given you. It doesn't take long to run out of your own prayer points, but it takes a longer time to finish all the things he wants you to pray about in prayer. So in other words, the minute I start praying, I'm showing my willingness and I'm responding to something that is always ongoing. The Spirit of God is always ready to help and to assist us to pray, and there are always several things to pray about. He just mentioned all saints there. All saints means that the saints will always wear prayer. Not only that, the saints always have different levels of growth at different times. The saints have different levels of submissiveness and yieldness to the things of God. So when you keep praying, what you're doing, you're making power available for the will of God to be done in ministries, in God's plans and purpose upon the earth, in the life of every saint. Hallelujah. This is praying always. But we've seen something in scripture that the minute a believer steps out praying in the spirit, you have just opened yourself deliberately to whatever God has in mind for you. That's what it means. It says praying always. Acts chapter 9. Let's look at some practical examples. Acts chapter 9. Well, let's start from Acts chapter 10. I want to read from verse 1. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band, called the Italian band, a devout man and one which feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God. Now this man, he didn't know God. Jesus, when no God said, he wasn't saved. Okay? Well, let me put it this way. Let me use Paul's language. This man knew God, but he wasn't known of God. A believer doesn't just know God. A believer is known of God. Okay? See what it says. It says, always, he saw in a vision. It's when you read further, all the way down, when Cornelius now personally gave, this is Luke's account, when Cornelius gave his own testimony, he now explained to her what he was doing before the vision came. Cornelius was praying. In other words, Cornelius' stance in a place of prayer made it easy for whatever God wanted to do for him to happen. Here it just says, an angel just appeared. So you just think that he didn't do anything, the angel just came. So you see what it says? He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him. What is interesting about Cornelius' story is that Cornelius was obviously observing the Jewish hours of prayer. The first hour, the second hour, like that, the third hour. And usually they have about four watches. 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 a.m., 3 p.m., like that. So the ninth hour is what time? 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Hallelujah. He was observing that. So he was praying at the regulated hours that the Jews usually practice. And then an angel came. Notice the connection between Cornelius' prayer and angelic activity. What is God's will for all men? That all men be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. What did Cornelius' prayer do? Release the activity of angels. Such that what Cornelius wanted, which is what God wanted for him, to come to pass. So you notice that in prayer, it means that a man submits himself to the will of God. What it means. In fact, the clearest way you can show that you are fully submitted to God's will is to pray about anything and everything. That is, I don't want to do what I will naturally occur to me. I want to do what I feel is in Father's mind, then just pray. Hallelujah. Particularly in the spirit. You will always be on point when it comes to Father's will. That's what it means. Praying to him. Esau. So, Let's read on. He saw an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy arms are come before him. Remember, for God, now send me to Joppa and come for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Okay. Then is that. So this man who was not saved received revelation, word of knowledge about someone somewhere who was meant to be sent to him. So let's go to Peter now. Verse 9. And on the morrow as they went on their journey, and drew not to see, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the... So notice Peter too was praying in a regulated way. What's the sixth hour? What's the sixth hour? 12 p.m. Good stop. And he became very... Can you pray when you're hungry? Does the hunger stop the prayer? You know, it's very interesting the things that Luke recorded here, because this is Peter the apostle who raised the dead. It's amazing. Being in the spirit doesn't stop you from being hungry. And being hungry doesn't stop you from being in the spirit. Depending on what you focus on. If I look at the way it was with them, and it became really hungry, I will have eaten. That phrase simply means that if you saw food before prayer, I will have eaten. I don't know if you get it. If food was ready before prayer, what would Peter have done? So why did he go and pray? Food wasn't ready. So in case you think that if I'm praying, I'm thinking of food, the prayer is over. No, the prayer is still on. But you're thinking about food is natural. Why? You are a man. You live in a body. So it's natural. Your thinking doesn't cancel out your praying. If you stay in prayer long enough, you'll see that your praying will cancel out your thinking. Hallelujah. You know, some people, they allow their thoughts to stop them from praying. You are meant to allow your praying to what? Control your thoughts. That means you pray until the thoughts stop. Somebody has to give up the thoughts or the praying. You choose which one. You regulate your thoughts with what you say. You don't allow your thoughts to regulate what you say. You can regulate your thoughts by what? What is coming out of your lips. So he will have eaten, but as a made ready. So you see, immediately he fell into a trance. When was Peter? He went up to the housetop. That means he needed privacy, he needed time alone. So he went into a place apart to show that he really wanted to pray. Is it good to find a place or to have specific places where you want? Of course. The Bible says Jesus will go onto a mountain apart to pray, and he will pray all night. Guess what? Jesus didn't have the kind of needs that we have. He was sinless, and he prayed all night. So it can't be because of sin. It can't be because of clothes to wear. You don't need 12 hours of praying to do that one. But constantly walking in light of God's will, Jesus will spend time apart to pray. You know, I said something last week. No wonder most of the time when challenges came, he was working miracles. Disciples were busy shouting for help and praying. Why? He was prayed up. Always prayed up. So there was no challenge or situation that came that Jesus wasn't ready for. Where did he get the boldness from? The times of prayer. Hallelujah. Let me say this also. What separates two people when they sing or they lead worship or they lead a gathering or a group or a congregation, either in prayer or in worship? What separates two different people? Prayer. It is not that the song is powerful. It is the person who is singing who is powerful. You hear what I said? You can sing a simple song in a powerful way. I can sing a song that is full of powerful lyrics in a very dull way. Because the person who sings is not charged. It means that if you are going to minister to the saints, you need to understand the place of you being prayed up in the spirit before you step out to minister. Why are we not always able to act out what we sense or pick up? Because we've not spent sufficient time to pray. See, we're having Holy Ghost meetings. Everything we do by the Spirit. You can't even stand to speak and try to do it in the flesh. Fall flat on your face. We're talking about ministering to the saints, the body of Christ. It's a tremendous ministry. Hallelujah. A tremendous ministry. As you come prayed up, that's the way to prepare for such meetings. You pray to such a point. You know, you can pray to someone that when you are not conscious, even your mouth is moving. I mean, if you... You can, and you should. So, most of the time, when it's time to minister to... Do you know, after you've prayed hard, it's easier to lay hands on people. That is, you can't even practice ministry of laying of hands properly without having prayed it. Anything that has to do with spiritual reality and activity requires much praying for you to be effective in it. Glory to God. In Acts 13, we notice something. As all those 5 men, 90 men, some were prophets, some were teachers, some were prophets and teachers, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them." It's very interesting, the next statements that scripture records. It said, and after they prayed with fasting, they now leave. What did he told them? He said, "Separate." You will think that means just call them. Paul, come. Come here. Barnabas, come here. So yeah, everybody. Only five, the other three. Oh, yeah. Let me stand there. You stand there. Yeah, all pillars. Oh yeah, let's. No. After the instruction, now listen carefully. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, what was the focal point of that meeting? They were ministering to who? To the Lord. So when they were ministering, what happened? The Lord said, when you hear there are certain prophets and teachers, and the Lord said, be very sure that phrase the Lord said means he spoke through one of them. How many of you understand that? That's what it means. Because there were certain prophets and what? Teachers. So he spoke through one of them. That means, listen carefully, if you will spend sufficient time praying in the spirit, as you start out praying, it is to God what? The time comes, it becomes to man what? Shall I say that again? No. If you spend time, the same way you spoke to God, the same avenue by which you speak to God, it talks back to you or ministers to people through the same avenue, but it doesn't happen in 5 minutes of praying. It takes time for you to get. When I say get there now, it takes time for you to be that conscious. Hallelujah. If you are experiencing this kind of thing at all, you will notice one thing that, how do you know? It's very difficult to say how to know. Because these things are more experiential than theoretical. That means that when it's time for you to minister to people, the tongues will actually change. For whoever is experienced, you will know. So something seek experience. Because I say, Pastor, when will I know if God now wants me to speak to people? You will actually know. Not just by the inward witness, the nature of the tongues will change. It's no longer from you to God, it's now from God through you. That's what happens. What were they doing? They were ministering to the Lord. So their focus was on him. So it was now time to hear what he had to say. And he still said it through the same avenue, tongues and interpretation, which he now used to bring forth the message. What was the message? Separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the ministry whereunto I have called them. So he had spoken to them before. He was now confirming it before men. The Saul knew about the ministry, yes. Barnabas knew about the ministry, yes, they knew. Why? He had told them before. What was God doing? Confirming it through men, which is what ordination really is. Ordination is not we are putting you into ministry. Ordination is we are confirming that you are called to ministry. Nobody can put you into ministry. Nobody can. Ordination is we are confirming. It is men's confirmation. That's not God's call. That's why, guess what you can do without? I mean, maybe you didn't get that part. Which one do you think can do without? The God part or the man part? The man part. It's always compulsory. It can be a blessing sometimes, it may not be sometimes. But if you don't have the God part, they are laying empty hands on an empty head. You don't want that to happen to you. So it is a confirmation of a spiritual reality. Something God has already told you. If you don't know that you are called, you are not called. And I can say somebody is miscalled. Snaking miscall. In other words, how do you really know? It's not that someone will tell you. All that somebody can do for you is to confirm for you. They will confirm. Confirm means that there are stirrings in your heart. There's a witness on the inside. You may not know what the call is about. Everybody starts out that way. You may not fully know. But you know there's a call. You just don't know what it is. And then men confirm. That's what it does. So did Paul know? Yes. Did Barnabas know? Yes. What were the other 3 ministers doing? Confirming. Hallelujah. See what it is. I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, after the utterance came. What did they do after the utterance came? They went back to praying. They didn't just say, okay, just bring your head. No. How do you fulfill God's will? By praying. It means they discovered that they required to pray a bit more in order to do what we're just being told. So when revelation comes, what do you do after the revelation comes? you pray more. Because what you just received is spiritual in nature. How do you carry it out? By the same spirit by which you received the message. You pray more to fulfill God's will. So after they are, and when they are fasting and praying, they lay their hands on them and do what? They send them away. So that you can know they did it by the spirit. Look at the next verse. And so they've been sent forth by who? By who? Through who? Those three men. Who was sending them forth? Who was sending them forth? The Holy Ghost. Who laid hands? The men. This is how it works. So, men are laying hands. The Bible says it's the Holy Ghost that sent them forth. You realize why they need to pray. Because the Holy Ghost is one who really wants to send them forth. He's just borrowing your hand. For your hand to be borrowed, you better pray. Hallelujah. You better pray. So, even in the midst of laying of hands, you pray to function therein. That's what it means. Hallelujah. What am I saying? Every spiritual ministry, local assembly, requires much praying. You don't just come and hold the mic or usher or sing or give a message without having prayed up. The praying not only gives you boldness, the praying allows you to express the spirit properly. That's what it does. Hallelujah. That's what it does. Acts chapter 2, quickly. Acts chapter 2. From verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Next verse. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 16. Verse 16. They were dwelling at Jerusalem. Okay, this is that which was verse 15. For things are not drunken as you suppose, seeing what? It is but what? The third hour of the day. So, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, verse 16 says, for 15 says, these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is what? But the third hour of the day. Between verse 1 and verse 16, how many hours had passed? 3 hours. So the people that gathered in the day of Pentecost had been praying for how long in tongues? 3 hours. And after 3 hours, then people came. What did they begin to do? They were ministering to the people in psalms. Tongues and interpretation, they brought forth psalms. They were speaking all the wonderful works of God after 3 hours. So you notice it wasn't 5 minutes of tongues. How did they start? The first hour of the day. What time was it when people were being ministered to? The third hour of the day. That means they are tarried much. What were they about to do? This is how the church began. They expressed the spirit after speaking in tongues for 3 hours. You don't just overlook those kind of facts. You understand that that's like a benchmark. That I must spend quality time praying in tongues. Have you prayed 1 hour? You have done well. Go beyond 1 hour. You have done well. Go beyond 1 hour. You did better than those who didn't do anything at all. But realize that you are bound to be effective in ministry. You want to be usable in ministry. You want to be able to serve in local assembly. You want to minister to the saints. You want to allow the flow of the spirit through you. You go beyond that. After 3 hours, people came. There were signs and wonders. Peter got up and began to preach the interpretation of what he had been speaking for 3 hours. No wonder there was as though you were at the ready sermon. It was interpretation of what he had been praying out. If that's how they started, you see that was the same pattern they did in Acts chapter 13. After they received instruction, what did they do? They still prayed more, then they laid hands. Then we see Cornelius praying, an angel appeared. Then we see Peter praying. Go back to Acts chapter 10. Verse 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 10. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. You notice that verse 9 says he went upon the rooftop to pray about the sixth hour. What was Peter doing when he fell into a trance? He was praying. So the fall into a trance means that he fell over bodily, or the power of God overtook him. How did the power of God overtake him? He voluntarily started praying. Let me put it this way. Every time you start praying, any good thing can happen. We mustn't forget that in the place of prayer, we are sons of God. Sons means that we consciously, deliberately are ready to participate in the Father's realm. So look at it this way. If you are the one who starts praying, then you fall into a trance. Listen carefully. Who is waiting on whom? Who is waiting on whom? If you get that. Who is waiting? You waiting for God, on God, or God is waiting for you? What did Peter do for the trance to happen? He started praying. What does that tell you? This trance was waiting for Peter. He started praying. That's what it means. It is the same thing that John was speaking about in Revelation 1:10. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and I had a voice. He got into the spirit by praying. Then the voice that he was supposed to hear, what did he do? He had it. Did God want to give John revelation? Yes. If I read the language of chapter 1, you will see the revelation that God showed John the Beloved, that God revealed or committed. So God wanted to. Would John have been able to receive if he wasn't praying in the spirit? No. In other words, you have a measure of control on those manifestations. That's what it means. By what you do when it comes to place of prayer. Hallelujah. So most of what will happen, most of what ought to happen, is something that God commits to us in the place of prayer. It's not Sunday, for instance, that will determine what will happen. Or Holy Ghost meeting. It's not the 15 minutes prayer or 20 minutes prayer on Sunday that is going to determine. It's the prayers we've been praying before Sunday. That's the way it works. Hallelujah. And we have seen that because we're not spectators but participators, it's the prayer that we're praying as we're building up that builds up into what we see. Hallelujah. Question is, what do we want to see? That informs how we pray and what we pray. What do we want to see? What are we asked to pray for? We ask to pray that the glory of God will be in manifestation. We ask to pray that the sick will be healed. We ask to pray that men's lives will be changed and transformed by the power of God. All these things are things that God will do and wants to do, but won't do except we pray. So your prayer is the first way you are yielded and you are participating in the flow of the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why we can't stop praying. Bible says praying always with all prayer and supplication. And it says for all saints. For all saints. So for everybody that will be here on Sunday, can we pray for all of them? Yes. What are we praying? Readiness. Willingness, yieldedness. Readiness, willingness, yieldedness. It takes men to express the Spirit. It takes men to yield to the Spirit. It takes men for demonstration of the Spirit to be seen. What you call demonstration of the Spirit is men yielding to the power of God to get other people blessed. Hallelujah. That's what it takes. And because men have a will is also one of the reasons why we pray. Men have a will. In Luke chapter 22 from verse 40, Bible speaks to us about what Jesus had to go through in the Garden of Gethsemane. 3 different times he went to pray. Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But not my will, but your will be done. Do you know Jesus had the right to say, I'm not doing? It's too hard. Thank God he didn't. You know you had the right. Guess what? It would not have been seen. And he said, if it's possible, but not my will, but thy will be done. Why? He didn't sin. He was about to be punished as a sinner by becoming sin. He had that. Why did Jesus was praying? Let me ask you a question. Why don't you always do what you know to do? Even though you know to do it. Your knowledge is not enough. It's prayer that anchors in the truth of God's word. That makes you do what you mean. I mean, one single sin devoted himself to only one thing. He's praying for you. Laboring fervently in prayer for you. That you stand perfect and complete in all Epaphras. That was all he was known for. He's laboring, always laboring. 3 words are that. Wonderful. Always laboring fervently for you. That you stand perfect and complete. Colossians 4:12. In all of the will of God. Think about that. There was Epaphras, who is one of you, salutes you. Always laboring fervently for you. That you stand perfect and complete in all. Say all. All of the will of God. One man. That was what he was devoted to. Hallelujah. That was what he was devoted to. Always laboring fervently for you. Always. So he's telling you that it's not something you pray for 10 minutes and think it's done. Our prayer life is such that we pray for lengths of time. We stop to go and do some other things and we come back. We just continue where we stopped. Because it's never done. You only got done to a point to go and do some other things and you continue in prayer. That's what it means. That's a believer's prayer. Praying always. Say always. With all prayer. And what? You can't get that done in 10 minutes. So most of the major moves of God comes about by the saints corporately praying. United praying towards one single purpose particularly. So we're praying tonight for every saint. We're praying that the light of the true gospel will dawn. We're praying that the saints will be ready in their heart and their consciousness. We're praying that they'll be willing. We're also praying that they'll be what? Yielded. Do you know that knowledge helps saints to be yielded? How many of you know that? You know, you do less of, you are prompted to get up and do this. You do less of, what does that now mean? If there's light and revelation, you will do less of that. Why do you find yourself doing more than that? Because you have probably been in the senses too long. Because there's no light, there's no revelation. So, when you find yourself always resisting every single prompting that you leave, get up and sing this song, or get up and give this message, or get up and shout or dance, and you're still saying, you are too conscious of yourself. When we come for Holy Ghost meeting, shyness, conservatism, reserve, those things, leave them by the door. Give it to the ushers before you come. Hand over to the ushers. When you are going, say that, where's my shyness? Can I have a prayer? You can collect it back. They being conservative, collect it when you are going. But when you are coming, just we'll put ushers there that will collect from you. That just submit those things and then come and sit down. Put on Christ. When you are now going, you can collect back. We tell them to give back to you. But when you are coming for these kind of meetings, we don't want shy, conservative reserve. We want a new creation. Hallelujah. We are the circumcision. I worship God in the spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. Glory to God. Say, I can do what God says I can do. I am who God says I am. Hallelujah. How do you walk in the reality that you pray and you still pray it up? And you are bold to act upon the instructions that you receive. Where do those instructions come? In the spirit. In the spirit. In the spirit. That means that your willingness to participate first of all in prayer is far more important. Look at what Paul said to the Philippians. Philippians 1, verse 19. Oh, every time I see the scripture, my heart pounds. Look at what Paul said. He was in jail, mighty apostle. And Paul was telling them the outcome of a particular spiritual exercise before they did it. Why was he telling them? So that they could do it. What did he say? I know that this shall turn to my salvation. That word doesn't mean he's not saved. That word means deliverance. Where was he? He was in prison. How did he get in prison? Through the machinations of men. How is he going to be delivered? The will of men have to be affected. How is he going to be affected? I know this shall turn to my salvation. Through your prayer and the supply of the... Do you know every saint that prays in the spirit is ministering a supply of the spirit of the Lord Jesus? You are drawing from the wells of salvation and you are pushing it out when you are praying. Think about that. You are pushing out miracles, gifts of healings, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, design of spirits, prophecies, diverse kind of tongues, interpretation of tongues. You're just pushing out everything that is needed, you're pushing out. He says, I know this shall turn. How does God orchestrate men in carrying out his will? It's because somebody has to be praying somewhere. Somebody has to be praying somewhere. Remember the story of John G. Lake? He gave a testimony. I read it in Adventures in God. Adventures in God. John G. Lake, 96. He said that he met a woman at a particular road junction. And the minute he prayed for that woman and laid hands because she was grievously sick, close to death, she was instantly healed. And the woman began to give a testimony. And as I was praying, 3 days before you came, an angel appeared and told me, travel this road for the next 3 days. On the third day, you'll meet a man. When you meet him, you'll be healed. Now, in the place of prayer, God was orchestrating things. The man that carried the answer was on his way. Was going to pass that way. God now used the angel to give that woman who needed healing direction so he could meet that man. What happened? Instantaneous results. Now, the Kenigian also spoke about a prayer group in the local church where he was attending that God showed them. The women, it was a group of women who were praying. And they were praying one morning. They saw by design of spirits, a particular street corner. They saw a house in that street corner, and they saw a woman on the bed, seriously healed, and that woman was praying. And they saw themselves in that place while they were praying in the local assembly, placing their hands upon her, she was healed. So when they finished praying, they simply looked for the street. They looked at the street, found the house, went up, saw the woman in bed, and when the woman saw them enter, the first thing she said was, "Hallelujah." Because on her own part, she had prayed and seen them come. They were praying and saw themselves there. When they met, miracles happened. When we pray, we make that kind of supply possible. Hallelujah. Which is, God is orchestrating on both ends. In fact, the woman told them that the minute she was healed, she shared that and said that, "I saw you praying. And I saw that the minute you were reading Isaiah 53, when you get to a particular verse, I jumped out of bed." And that was exactly what happened. What's the Spirit of God doing? Orchestrating on both hands. That's why we pray. We pray that such experiences will become real. We pray that the power of God will be greatly what? Manifest. So we're the ones who determine what happens in these meetings. Did you know? You know, I've been trying to sensitize us that the first meeting will be different from the second meeting. Guess what? It will be different from the third meeting. Why? You can't stereotype those meetings. No meeting. So the first meeting, I wasn't able to teach fully. Second, I was able to teach fully. The power of God still flow. You can't say, you know, it must be. What you can say is the power must manifest. But the script, the step by step, how it unfolds is what, where is it right now? It's in our hearts. What are we going to do tonight? We'll pray it out. Who are you supposed to lay hands on or minister to? It's right there in the spirit. What do? You pray it out. Who are you meant to meet that meeting will change that person's life forever? You pray it out. That's what you do. Those things are there in the spirit. God wants them to happen. Our cooperation with Him, place of prayer, makes those things possible. I remember a couple that came to church and they came to the front. I think they came for something else. But when they came and I laid hands on them, I was speaking something else entirely to them. I still remember. I think they were related to Mrs. Rufus. It was something else I was saying to them entirely as they came for prayer. I just started saying something else to them. And then, I mean, wonder of all wonders, discovered that I think they were supposed to travel out or something and they had been refused. So they were thinking about how to reapply. And after that prayer, that utterance, they sent a message from them. It's never done, no. They don't do it anywhere, particularly not even breaking them. They now sent a message that they are reconsidering. You go and pay first. They now said that they have reconsidered, that they made a mistake, that they want to. In fact, when they were telling me they were still in shock. I know. That's like working on miracles. They don't call you for what? The shakara is too much. That they call you back. Why would they call you back? I mean, you are still thinking of how we're going to go and appeal. Before they could appeal, God was moving. Hallelujah. So there are many things like that. What should guide us as we pray? Ephesians 3:20. And then we'll start praying tonight. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Glory to God. So look at this verse. Look at that. Philippians 1:19. And look at this verse. When you put the two together, see what it says. Now unto him that is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that we want, ask or think. According to the power. What? Stop. According to the power that is in us. It's not what he said though. Read it very well. It is about the power that is in us. Said the one that worketh in us. Is there power in us? That's not how it works. It is one that worketh. How does it worketh? Permit the English. It worketh by prayer. Hallelujah. That means through prayer, you work it. You want? You work the power. That's what Paul meant when he said that, "I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer." And this is a connection between your prayer and what? The supply of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. That supply is you and I walking the power. We walk the power. Do we have proof that the power exists or is in us? Yes. Ephesians 1 tells us the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the power is exceeding great towards us. Then we now walk that power in prayer. So when we are praying out, listen carefully, we're praying to the Father, but most of what we're doing is we're praying out the power. So we are setting the pace of the service. We're declaring the message that will be taught. We're declaring the activities that will be seen. We're revealing the visions. The visions, the revelations that ought to be in the meeting, about the meeting, we are setting the place. Stand to your feet tonight and let's pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Father, we thank you for tonight. We set our hearts to pray. And we yield ourselves to your spirit. And we pray at your plans, your purposes. We thank you for utterance and the Holy Ghost. Not just to pray your will. We'll receive utterance for every man that was time to minister. We'll receive the leadings, instructions, directions, and promptings of the spirit. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That Ephesians 3:20 says that now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can want, ask, you can see them. All that we can want, ask, or think, according to what? His power that worketh in us. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says that earnestly desire and covet the best what? Spiritual gifts. Says we should earnestly desire and covet. That means that covet earnestly the best gifts. Now he says that means that the manifestation, that word covet and desire are similar in the sense that our coveting is to pray them out. Okay? Now as we were praying, I saw that there will be a strong profusion of revelation gifts on Sunday. I saw. But I also heard that there will be alignments and perfections. Okay, there will be alignments and perfections on Sunday. Now, we pick up those things in the sense that this is what God also wants done. That's like a revelation. What do? We pray more about it. But notice it says, unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That means that there's something about our asking and our thinking in the place of prayer that actually helps what we're praying. There is no limitation. There's no shortage of God's power. Hence the reason why we pray a lot for revelation. Revelation for what? So you can see the magnitude of what is available or what can be done. If meeting of this nature, I heard of a family that was ministered to, and there had been no marriage for 15 years in that family. And after the glory of God was manifest, in 1 year they had 13 marriages. I think that's 1 month beyond 12 months. You can tell that the delay in marriage was unnatural. In 1 year they had 13 marriages. Other young Gilead spoke about an experience when the old church was praying, and he said in the spirit he saw shafts of light coming from every single member as they were praying, and they entered into him and he was transported to another country, and he went to go and minister, carried by the strength, the supply of the spirit of all the saints, and ministered to a man in an insane asylum, and man was instantly set free. And he said it was done by the corporate supply that was administered. In other words, is any meeting. Dr. Kennedy spoke about the meeting. He said that many times people come to him asking for prayer for certain things and he trusts God to heal them. He said, but there are certain special seasons. He called them that season because he said that people don't understand that the glory of God was in manifestation. He said that most of the time when they see those kind of things, because they got to pray. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to see God's power made manifest. I want to see what has been written off as impossible rectified by the power of God. I mean, he said when the glory of God was made manifest in a particular meeting, he acted out of character. If you know him very well, he's a gentleman. In fact, he's what you call reserved, except when he's under the Holy Ghost. He said a woman was brought in to pray. She had terminal cancer. Cancer was in her blood, in her pancreas, in her liver, in her kidney, in her tummy, everywhere. Cancer was everywhere. So where will you lay hands on? It was in her blood also. Terminal case. Said, instead of laying hands like he normally has, he said he found himself jumping off the pulpit. He literally jumped off and landed on the woman and held her like a cat would grab a mouse. He said he must have cast out by mention at least 3 different demons from her. The woman lay down for like 12 hours, not moving. An operation was going on. When she got up, she was cancer free. From the blood, from the pancreas, from the kidney. Now, I'm trying to get you to understand, when the glory of God is in manifestation, we see strange things. Now, here's the challenge. There's no shortage of God's power. But can we believe for that? I mean, I've been in a meeting. I was there. Not that they told me I was there in that meeting. A lady was overcome by God's power. From the beginning of the meeting to the end of the meeting. Meeting finished. She was still under God's power. She didn't come to. I carried her down 4 flights of stairs. Put her in the car. Used silver to belt her down. They took her home. Got her out of the car. She didn't come around. She didn't come around at 3 a.m. in the morning. And she didn't speak to anyone until she saw me. This is what happened. This is what she saw. She was caught up in a meeting. Are trances normal for believers? Yes. Are visions normal for us? Yes. Is the glory of God in manifestation normal with us? Is it normal with us? Is it normal with us? Do we want to see it? Can we pray tonight? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Can we pray tonight in the name? I want you to pray with all your heart. I want you to pray with all your heart. I want you to desire those things. I want us to pray out the manifestation of God's power to that extent. There is not such thing as an impossible case. There is no such thing as a health issue that cannot be cured. Not with God. Not with the power of God. Not in Christ Jesus. Oh, wombs being replaced. Wombs being replaced, organs being replaced, surgeries being carried out on men's bodies, conception made supernaturally easy, alignments going on with ease, matters being sorted that only the power of God can sort out. Oh, glory. Oh glory. Thank you Lord. Thank you for eruptions. Thank you for demonstrations. Thank you for manifestations. Thank you. Oh, glory to your name. Thank you for utterance and boldness. Thank you for instructions received and carried out. Thank you for supernatural activity. Thank you for the full flow of the Spirit. And for Lado Grish de Costa, we are grateful. We are thankful. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.